Hello and welcome everybody to Around the Battleground. My name is LHS and I am your host. Today we've got a maybe short episode. I don't know how much I'll talk and stretch it all out. There's only one match that was played today, but we had some good games to finish off last week that I could probably talk a lot about, and that'll be a big part of the show. Apart from that, we do have an interview today. Last week I was able to sit down with Neil Ma, the support for SK. We talked to him for a little bit, and it was a fun interview. So a little bit outdated with the information just because it was filmed a week ago. I'm trying to do my best. I don't think we'll have live interviews for a while just because of the time slot and they play today, and I've got a Millsy in the bank. I know that last week today was supposed to be a Millsy, but didn't end up recording that. I'm recording that this weekend, so that'll be coming up next week probably. So look for that. All right, so today's show, it's week, what is it? This is week number six out of seven. Oh, no, eight. How many weeks are there in the split? 13. There are 13 weeks. And so we're just about the halfway point, and Renegades still haven't played yet. They had to postpone their games again. I did see on Twitter that one of their players, I think it was Funball, finally got his visa approved and everything. So that's, one piece of the puzzle solved. We'll see how long it takes for everybody else. I think we're still waiting on Cherryo. I haven't seen any updated information on that. So we'll see what happens there. But really excited to see that team finally just come into the picture, I think everyone is, and everybody's kind of tired of seeing all of the reschedules and games pushed back, and we're not getting games, and like we're getting days with one game. Nobody wants to see that, especially when it gets 3-0. It's a very quick day. Looking at last week, we had we talked about Dignitas, Pittsburgh Knights. Dignitas win 3-1. Trifecta and United 3 owing Trifecta, and then that weekend was Splice Dig and Trifecta Knights, and they were some pretty interesting games. The Splice Dignitas game was a really big important game, but I talked about how they were playing with Divios finally, so Solo Troll is not subbing in for them. They are playing as the best team in the world, who's been playing, who has played. They played Pittsburgh Knights. They played Pittsburgh Knights twice and beat them. They played Rival, beat them. This is a team that's been performing very well. Splice lost to Rival. They're playing with a sub, looked decent in times, but just obviously something not quite there playing with a sub. You expect that. But they played with Divios, and they looked better. They pushed Dignitas more than they pushed than anybody else has pushed them yet, I feel like. So in my power rankings I did, while I was watching, I tweeted out that I have Splice over Rival. I have it Dignitas, Splice, Rival, Pittsburgh Knights. And people were asking me why I did that. It was because watching Splice in their first game, I don't think we can count the Solo Troll one. They made Dignitas go the distance. And one or two things go differently. Splice win this set. That was really cool to see. I'm here to say Splice is looking just as good as they did last year. They've got some spicy strats. They pulled out the Herc support. They're going to do very well this the split in the season. They got off to an unlucky start, having to go against Rival with a sub, and then having to go right into Dig. But the way that they played into Dignitas was something special. Obviously, they lost to Rival. And Rival also lost the Dig. So how could I put Rival under Splice? Just watching the Splice Dignitas game versus the Rival Dignitas game, I really feel like I saw more. I thought I saw Splice push Dignitas more. I can see Splice taking games off the Dignitas on a more frequent clip than I could see Rival taking games off the Dig. That could change, right? That's just personal feel after I watched those games. Splice is still learning the meta. They've only been in competitive play for like the last 2 weeks. who knows how long they've been scrimming, everything like that. You know, Aurora finally just got down here. Not Aurora, Divios finally just got down here. So that all puts dampers on their practice and everything. And so with the amount of time that they've had, I really think they did an amazing job to do as well as they did. I was skeptical. You know, the same thing that I've said with Trifecta last year, SK this year, you know, they didn't kick anybody off the team. They didn't replace anybody. And so I look at Mozwell and I look at Cyclone and I'm like, and even though it's to a lesser extent, Sino, right? Are these the guys that can deliver another world championship? Can they deliver another world run? Mozwell effectively pressed four a lot at Worlds and they won. He just didn't die and pressed four. And he kind of alluded to that in his pregame interview, a little bit tongue in cheek. But that's kind of what I saw the most from Mozwell. So I didn't know if he was going to be that guy. If the meta changes, can he still be a great mid laner for this team? And so I want to say that I'm pleasantly surprised. You know, we also had, you know, Cyclone rumored to have been close to retirement. Could he continue his run of, you know, good play? And I think he has. And this whole team just works. I kudos to them for sticking together. You know, obviously, I don't see all the stuff that happens behind the scenes. I believed in Splice. They had a monster run that everything clicked from at the right times. But long term, did I believe in Splice? That's my question still. I think they've kind of answered that for me. I believe Splice is a top to bottom complete team. I think they can do a lot of work as a unit. So seeing them play Splice, seeing them play Dignitas to the limit, it's pretty dope. I loved seeing it. They made a couple mistakes here and there. A little bit of rustiness showed through. And I think it was a fire giant fight that really kind of turned the tide. But one of the other things, all right, I guess we have to talk about this. We're going to talk about the Splice dig set. Is Divios used the Ragnarok AD skin and used the global emote to lure Dignitas into a fire giant fight? And to turn the tide of the fight. So that's problematic. So when you use the ult in that skin, it, you know, has a global skybox effect. But you can also just do that global skybox effect as a special emote. So Dignitas thinks that Divios is using his ult on the fire giant to secure it. They go in, they rush in to try to steal, and then, you know, the fight ensues. Is this a problem? Yes. Skin advantage is a real thing. There's been plenty of videos made about it, how quiet skins are and things like that. Should they be punished? That was a big question that I saw over and over. Should they be punished? And no, they should not. They played within the parameters of the rules. Unless it explicitly states you cannot use global emotes or anything like that, they're fine. With NRG having Roe in the coach comms on the online stage, there was no rules against it. So they could do it. And NRG didn't get punished, to my knowledge. Therefore, you cannot punish Splice and Divios. If you want to change it, you have to rewrite the rules. It sucks, but if you, I, on the one hand, as like, if I was competing against that, yeah, I'd be bitching. But as a competitor, if I had thought about that, I'd be like, yeah, well, you know, it's the Belichick, right? You know, for the New England Patriots, they have abused rules and gotten things banned that weren't banned before. They've used wordings of the rule book to get away with stuff. And then after he, you know, rams it down the throat of the league for his season, they make it illegal and he doesn't do it. So there's some stuff like that where we're seeing the rule book and the mechanics get abused. You know, we saw the catch-up mechanic that was introduced be abused in the solo lane by Pittsburgh Knights. And everyone was like, oh, that's just really smart, right? And I don't think I really look at this any differently. It's a skin in the game. It's not banned. Everything like that. So they just used what was available to them. This is available to everybody else. everybody could use this or the Anubis scanner or any of the stuff that kind of does this. And nobody did. And so do I expect there to be changes? Yes, that is an unfair competitive advantage. That skin needs to be banned and skins like it need to be banned. And there needs to be a heavier process for the banned skin list. There needs to be more. Or they need to create an option so that you have your skin, right? The cosmetic thing doesn't get changed, but all the abilities retain their original sound. That needs to be an option somewhere, just like with voice packs and everything like that. I don't know. You need to be able to hear abilities and everything. And everybody else has talked about this to the nth degree. I won't, but I hope that is something that is coming and needs to be changed. And we'll see how Skillshot High Res Titanforge games kind of deal with that. But Thigma's also look really good. They continue to play the team fight better than anybody else in the league. Very patient. There were times where Splice made Dignitas impatient. And that right there is the key to why I believe in Splice. They made Dignitas impatient, where they have, up until this point, been the most patient team in the league. We'll see how Splice kind of grows from this. I expect they will be in the top three or so. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of that top bit of Smite shakes out in the end. Next up from last week, we had Trifecta and the Pittsburgh Knights. This goes down as a 3-0 to Pittsburgh. However, Trifecta made it difficult. They did not gift any wins to Pittsburgh. They did not give them a gimme. It wasn't a 20-minute stomp fest. Trifecta made Pittsburgh work, and I love to see it. This Trifecta squad is growing every set. They're learning. Lazbra has started off the year really shaky as a mid, and then has kind of started to learn and come into his own. Ionic has come into his own. Weaken is, you know, really, I think this might be the best we've seen Weaken play in a long time. Ducky is coming a long way, making the strides, showing us the player that everybody has talked about behind the scenes. And then Wowie has really kind of stepped up as well. And I think, you know, him being left alone now with the meta shift, that's really helping him as well. It's this Trifecta team looks pretty good. I think that they could break out from the bottom three potentially. I think they could make it into the middle of the pack. There's a lot of upward mobility for this team as they get more comfortable with each other, as they make better decisions, as they just get everything together, especially with their coach. I really am excited for Trifecta. Pittsburgh Knights, on the other hand, was worried about them. They have not been the team that they should be. They've played down to opponents with Trifecta. They have lost their cool. They've been impatient. This is not a team that this is a team that is at odds with itself. You look at CLG from last year and all of the how strong that roster was on paper, and they never performed. Well, we're kind of back there with this Pittsburgh Knights roster, where they are so strong on paper, but they just haven't been able to get it done. And so what is the reason for that? What's causing that? You don't know. But I don't know. I don't think they'll ever fall out of the top of the card for Smite right now. They're too good for that. They could lose. I don't know. They could lose to SK, maybe E-United. Those are two teams with a lot of talent and a lot of ability. But Pittsburgh, I probably think, holds on to that fourth spot as a gatekeeper. I think Pittsburgh Knights are the gatekeeper up into the upper echelon of Smite right now. They're good, and if you're bad, they're going to punish you and capitalize on that. But they're also they're just too impatient as a top team to really get into getting any better, and they really need to work on that right now. Like I said, this is a 3-0 for Pittsburgh, but it didn't look clean. It was not a clean 3-0 in any sense of the word. Trifecta growing every week. They will find wins. This is a squad that, as they grow and as they play with each other, will find the W's at some point. It's just not there yet. There's still a lot of time. I don't know. I don't know what else to say as far as like these last week games. So then we go into today, Thursday, May 2nd, and we have Rival versus SSG. SSG has just announced that they have a new coach. And their new coach is the one and only Alpha Jackal. And if you've watched my show, if you've followed me on Twitter at all, you know that I have a pretty good relationship with Andrew, Mr. AJ. And so I obviously think this is a good pickup. I love Alpha Jackal. I think he's one of the better coaches. However, he is one of the most non-traditional coaches there is. The way he likes his teams to play the game, everything like that. His, you know, his mind kind of strays from the beaten path. That's the complete opposite of SSG. Farah and Jeff and Andy play the meta. They don't establish the meta. They just kind of figure it out and follow the pack. And so with AJ there, we might see some of that shift, or maybe not. Which side is going to win out in that fight, in that personality battle, I don't know. We saw how much luck SSG had with Dimmy. They were playing very poorly. He came on as coach. They looked a lot better. But can AJ kind of find the same success there and bring them up? I don't know. Rival 3-0 SSG under the first game of AJ. And I it's too early to say that the Alpha Jackal signing is a bust. SSG, there was no way SSG win this game. I feel like Rival's just been too good of a team up until this point, and really has put on a dominant performance. They're 2A or 2B to Splice's 2A, 2B, right? They are such a strong team, and they really punished Space Station all game. Space Station looked good at parts, but just would make bonehead decisions. The calls weren't right. There were some people out of position, everything like that. I really, the points of the game to me, again, come down to Jeff Hinla and Andy. When Jeff has good games, SSG are put in the best place to win. Andy can have some off games against the lower teams, but he also has to be on point. And I don't know if his god pool is deep and wide enough to find the success that SSG need. I don't know. Something's not clicking for SSG behind the scenes, and I really hope AJ comes in and fixes it, and he finds the way for this team to find their W's. Or it might just be time to find some new blood. You know, this team has been around. Jeff and Bear have been playing for together, and he's played with them for a long time. And Vin and Aquarius are kind of just stuck in this limbo area. Vin hasn't looked the greatest. Aquarius has looked good, but has been buoyed and shut down several games. So it's hard to say there's a singular point for SSG. I will say I think a lion's share fall onto the support in the jungle role, but mid and ADC and solo all have their blame. And this is a pretty clean 3-0 for Rival. They are patient. They make the opponent make mistakes, and then they capitalize on them. And that is the strongest Smite team you could be. If you can force the enemy to make mistakes, and then you can punish them for those mistakes, I have a hard time beating a team like that. And there's not really much else to say. Space Station are bottom of the SPR right now. Space Station Gaming, Luminosity, and Trifecta are the bottom teams of the SPL right now, in no particular order. I'm not saying that Space Station is the worst team. They've obviously shown some aptitude to differentiate themselves, but they are not going to win with this current roster, the way that they are currently playing, and they need to find a way to change that up. And I think Alpha Jackal is the guy to do it. If anybody can, he can. So I'm excited to see next week They've got another game coming up. Our Friday game is United Space Station. I think this will be telling. You know, the first game under AJ, I can give a little leeway, right? The second game, after you've got all of that VOD time and everything like that, I think this is the one. If Space Station's going to show improvement, show aptitude, they have to beat United. If Space Station Gaming do not beat United tomorrow, they are going to remain a bottom three team the rest of the year. They have to find a win here, or this team isn't going to work, and they're going to need to make a roster change to be relevant this season. So I don't know. I honestly don't expect SSG to win tomorrow. I expect United to win this game. I have a lot of faith in what the United squad will do. Vettium plays very well. Collins has been playing very well. Ice can play very well. United, on their best day, I feel like right now, can beat SSG on their best day. But are we going to get the best day from both of these squads? Probably not. That's just the reality of the game, right? So it's hard to say. Against a middling United team, SSG could find the victory. United, I think a middling United team versus a middling SSG team, United win. I think the floor of a United is a little higher right now than the floor of SSG, just based off of some recent play and everything like that. So I don't know. Call me a hater all you want. I want SSG. I love Barra and Jeff. Jeff is the reason I got in to be a support. But at some point, you know, I used to be a huge Incon guy. And then Incon kind of, his time came and went. And we might be in that point for Jeff, his twilight years as a pro. I might love to see Jeff become a coach at this point, you know? That could be an interesting switch and swap for him. But I don't know. That's all from what I see as an analyst at a 1,000, you know, foot view. You know, I don't get to see the details. I don't get to see the scrims or the comms or anything like that. So this is all that I can see from outside. And I might not know what the hell I'm talking about. You know, what you can see isn't always representative of the whole thing. And just because I'm saying that there's all these problems with SSG, you know, doesn't mean they can turn it around. Doesn't mean there's something else behind the scenes that's causing it. There's still hope for SSG, but I don't think this is a squad that can really compete for a world title this year. And that's the SSG brand right now. And I think that's problematic for them because I really like Space Station. They're one of my favorite orgs. And I think that they kind of shot themselves in the foot by going for high-end streamers and personalities and the you know, the boys next door. Because when they stop performing and you want to be competitive, you then look like the bad guy for making any changes. And it's very hard to make changes. And you kind of get blinded by that a little bit. So hard to say what SSG will do. Yeah, if I had to hazard a guess for tomorrow, United 3-2, Space Station, I hope, maybe 3-1. If Space Station wins, I think it'll be 3-2. I don't think they can win in a 3-0. I could possibly see United winning in 3-0. I don't think I can see Space Station winning in 3-0. But I don't know. I would love to be surprised. This is a very important set for the middle of the pack and the bottom of the SPL. We're going to learn a lot about United and Space Station tomorrow, and I'm excited to watch it. Yeah, but that's really all there was for the SPL this week. I mean, we look ahead, you know, week 7. I can get here on the schedule. All to be determined still. So we don't know who's going to play. We have the week 8, though. We got United, Pittsburgh Knights, Space Station, Luminosity, Rival United, and SK Dignitas. We got some interesting matchups coming down the stretch here. I highlight and circle the Team Rival and United match, the SK Dignitas set, United Knights, United Rival, SK Dig. Those will all be pretty decent games. And Space Station, Luminosity. Luminosity could find their wins. I don't know. It's hard to say what really happens in these games. I wish there was more to talk about. I will say that the show will potentially have a new face from next week. We might be adding a second host back into the mix. I'm talking to a couple people because I get lonely talking to myself. And, you know, when I can talk to a guy and bounce ideas off, you get longer shows again. And what's not to like about that? So keep your eyes glued to Twitter to see if I'm making any announcements. Other than that, you know, I've been streaming on Mixer. I think I'm going back to Twitch now. I like Mixer as a platform, but as an affiliate on Twitch, it just makes more sense for me to go back to Twitch. So I'm trying to figure out what my name is going to be for that. So just let me know what you guys think if you go by my Twitter. That's it for the me portion, the just the solo me portion of the show today. We've got our interview with Neil Ma coming up. I hope you guys enjoy that. And just let me know what you guys think of the show. You know, drop a line on Twitter, or, you know, this goes up on YouTube as well. So let me know what you guys think. So I'm going to kick it over to Past Me with Past Neil Ma. Enjoy, everybody. Hello and welcome, everybody, to Around the Battleground. My name is LHS, and this is our guest portion of the show. And today we have a surprise guest. I don't know how to describe this, but this is a guy that I've been talking to since. Let me look. I'm looking at. I got the wiki open now. Since April of 2017, I've been on this guy's hype train. Old Oxygen Pyramid days. We got Neil Neruma Ma. Support for SK. How you doing, bud?
Good, man. How's it going?
It's going well. I still cannot believe that in the entirety of me running all of my podcasts, all of my shows, everything I've done, I had never not once communicated to you in a DM. And that blew my mind because, like, as much as there's been a back and forth on, like, just Twitter replies and everything, and I was like,
yeah, for sure.
How did I not reach out to the one guy that I know on SK before and Trifecta before? Like, it was,
yeah,
it blew my mind. I had to rectify this injustice. Yeah. Better late than never. It's good to have you on the show. I mean, I think I can't even believe, like, looking back, I thought I had DM'd everybody on that Oxygen Supremacy roster because I was so in love with your guys' run and your story. Mm-hmm. Like, I to this day am still in the DMs of, like, the old, like, founders and, like, everything of Oxygen Supremacy. And I was like, how have I never talked to you? How did I not approach you? Because I remember that you had just the nut Sylvanas plays during that run. Like,
yeah, I was playing really good during that run. Yeah, we all played really well. And it's been a while now, but it was a lot of fun. It's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I feel like that was just, like, it feels so long ago, but it was also, like, I feel like that was the emergence of, like, the youth move in Smite in a lot of ways. I don't know, like, I tie that in. I tie that into, like, Final Case success. Like, there was so much from those gauntlet runs between you guys and then who else came? Like, Gatekeepers or...
Yeah, they were around at the time. I have trouble remembering all the Challenger teams. There's so many of them, like, the time frame. Yeah, them.
We had, like, the two back-to-back years, yeah.
And Shake It, the team, I forget what... their name was
right. Salsa Squadron. Time, yeah. Yeah.
Didn't know their sponsor at the time or not, but those guys were killing it in the Challenger Cup. So had a few of those teams, like, kind of up and coming with some good players on them. Yeah.
Yeah. So
good to see.
Definitely had a lot of, like, the, I don't know. For me, that's where I like the youth movement. We had you guys. I mean, you look at that squad, like Vin, Day to remember, you, Skeely, Kiki. Obviously, Skeely and Kiki, not exactly the youth movement there. They've been around for a while, but. You know, watching you, so you went, correct me if I'm wrong, but you went from Oxygen, you kind of bounced around again somewhere else.
I went to right Allegiance after then, right after, pretty well.
Yeah, you went to Allegiance right after that, and that was a lot of hype, a lot of pressure, it felt like. I know a lot of people.
So many legendary chests.
That was like your so sophomore slump. Like, how was your time with Allegiance? Like, what? What would you say you learned most from that, your time there?
I think I probably honestly learned more on Oxygen than I did on Allegiance, as weird as that sounds. I don't think that we really mixed well together. I think on Oxygen, we kind of had like a system down in Pat. We had like these styles we wanted to play. Kiki played a lot of Guardians, so we did a lot of team fighting as five. We didn't do a lot of diving. We just played something like Jing Chen, throw the tanks into us and we just kill them kind of thing. So we had like a style we wanted to play. We played around objectives. And then we went to Allegiance. It's kind of this mishmash of talent and no one really knew what they wanted to do. And we didn't really know how we wanted to team fight that much. And at times you could see it worked, right? We had like five really talented players. And when I first joined, I think we beat LG when they were really strong, like one of our first games. Or we split with them, I think is what happened. We almost made DreamHack Valencia. And then the next split right after that, we completely were just awful last place. So that kind of happens when you don't have systems in place and you just have talent, right? Like it's very inconsistent. Right. But I had a great time in Allegiance, but I don't think we really mixed that well together.
Yeah. Obviously not the highlight of your career thus far. You came into the scene with a pretty big bang with Oxygen. You had that little middle slump, you know, learning phase and Allegiance. And now Trifecta. Well, Trifecta now SK, but, you know, still basically same team. Started off the year, kind of felt a little bit like an extension of where you were with Allegiance. You know, you guys had a lot of potential. You guys had that. You guys were solidly middle of the pack for most of the year.
Yeah,
you guys couldn't really break out. You guys weren't great, but you weren't awful. Was it kind of a similar situation like what you just said, where you had a bunch of talent but kind of didn't know which direction you guys were trying to go?
Yeah, at times. I think at times for sure. I think, like, obviously you could look at that roster from the beginning and then transitioning through to the end when we have our team now. Everyone is really talented and very skilled, but the meta wasn't super well defined at the time, and I don't think our god pools were either, and we wanted to play different styles, and I think that kind of clashed a little bit. At times we looked really good, but at times we obviously looked really bad, and I think that just kind of goes the same thing. We didn't really have too much of a system down in Pat, and we just had a bunch of group of guys who were really good together, but we never really came together in the first half or so of when I was on Trifecta. Yeah.
I'm looking at all of the ADCs you've kind of played with over your career. Let's see, you go from Datarom, me remember, and you know, then you go to Oceans, then you go to Met Yankee, then you go to Zatman, and it's just you've had an eclectic laning life as a support main. I feel like it's you go Zap
played with a lot of personality.
Yeah, a little bit. Like I'm just kind of noticing that, and I don't know. I mean, you obviously, you think you probably have to say Zatman's your favorite ADC you've kind of laned with thus far, but is that the actual truth? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just easier to play with him. He's obviously super tenured player, has been around a lot longer than I have. So it's interesting when I first started playing him, just getting a little bit of the insight. And in a way, it was kind of a little bit more like min-max, if that makes sense. Like, you'd push it to the limit. Like, you can live and get the kill with one HP or, like, the exact amount of damage. He has that much experience playing the game in all the lanes with all the different gods, so it's definitely nice playing a Zap because he can take the reins sometimes, whereas traditionally I was kind of used to kind of leading the dual lane, but now it's kind of 50-50. We both kind of are looking for the plays, and like I said, he has a lot of experience, he knows a lot of the matchups, and we just a lot of fun trying to grow with someone like that, as someone who's not afraid to take control and tell you what to do sometimes. So it's been a good time. Yeah,
I bet. I've One of my fondest Smite memories so far is like me and a bunch of kids from my college team. You know, we were just queuing some casuals, doing some good old team building, and we queued into a Zap stream. And Zap was playing on support, and so I'm a support man myself. So I was like, oh god, I'm about to get bullied by Zap on a on a Sobek. This isn't gonna be fun. And then ended up like he went 0-16.
Yeah, he'll do
just
that.
Because it was is the old Zapman classic, right? Like we've seen kind of some of that. Like that was going into last year. I kind of want to talk about, you know, getting Paul and Sam onto the team, but what's it like when you go one game with Zap and he's like 16-0, and then the next game it's Zap, you know, Zap feeding to Zapman, you know, 0-16. Like, what are the comms like in those moments?
I think it's a bit of a myth. Like, he does that on stream, and he does it, like, in ranked. He'll just hold W and stand in a tower, and someone's clearly coming to gank him. But he just doesn't really care. He's brain off playing ranked. But we're scrimming, we're playing. Like, he's never really feeding. He's never doing any of that stuff you consider that's negative. He's always a really positive guy. And I think that during scrims and SPL, I've actually personally never really seen that. So I think it's a side team that kind of stays on stream. It's kind of part of his ranked or casual, whatever play. But then he comes into practice, he comes into plays serious, and he has a lot or like a ton of game sense. So he's not really susceptible to just standing the tower line, chucking out on her pillars until he's dead. You know, like I think it's a bit of a myth, but yeah, but he's a really solid player and he has really good game sense. So it doesn't happen too often.
Okay. So going back, Paul was the first like big addition to the team, right? Looking back for Trifecta, can you talk about like a little bit like who brought Paul in? Was it kind of all of you guys? Did one guy, hey, I know this guy. He's kind of doing some cool things.
I remember what happened was we had just gotten rid of Matt and Mask was the captain at the time, and he was talking about Midzi on tryout with, and he brought Paul's name. We had set up scrims against an SML team, I think on Saturday and Sunday. And I think we scrimmed once with Paul on Saturday or whatever, and he did pretty well. And Mask is like, we're just going to go with this dude. Let's just get this guy. And we had scrimmed one SML team for one day and like stomped him. Could have had any mid. We probably would have stomped him. Mask's like, no, let's just get this guy. And we're like, okay, like, I guess. And then he's like, okay, Paul, like, you're on the team. Let's go. And he was just like, what? Like, I played one scrim against an SML team and I'm in the SPL? Like, all right. So it's kind of sudden, but we all trusted Mask and we all knew that Paul was going to be an addition, really talented player. So a lot of upside potential for sure with that one. But it was very sudden and it was mostly Mask's decision. But at the end of the day, I think everyone was fine with it regardless. So it's definitely a really good thing he decided to pick up Paul.
Yeah, right. Like you said, it could have been anybody. Like,
yeah.
There's a timeline out there where you pick up Hythe. Like, that's, just think about that.
No.
Can I get a F in the chat for Hythe, please? So obviously you guys still, Paul, you know, obviously very acclaimed player, a lot of highlight plays, but still didn't find the same success with the roster. Mask leaves, you guys pick up Sam. And then you guys kind of just go off. Like, what was the change? Was it just new players and like just better cohesion, or did you just like what was the clicking moment for you guys?
I think one of the things was Mask. His heart wasn't really in it that year. Like, he really wanted to focus on school, and he's pretty stressed out leading the team and all those things. We weren't really performing. So I think that he just, like, after he took a step away from the game, he was able to, like, recollect himself. And he saw him when he came back on CLG. He was a really strong player for that placement. But I think during our time together, he just wasn't really in it 100%. Like, he's an insanely talented player, like a good captain. And obviously has, like, really good game experience, has done a lot in the game. But I think that just the fact that he couldn't really ever be 100% in it, just given how he was in school, kind of hurt him a little bit with our team. And then when Sam joined the team, we kind of had a bit more cohesion because Zap has a lot of different, like, he's seen a lot of different metas and he had an idea of how he wanted to play the game. And now that Mask is gone being the captain, he had a little bit more say. And Sam was just this kind of malleable person coming into the team. You could kind of mold him how you wanted to. He wasn't a pushover or anything. Like, he had his own ideas about the game, but he was ready to learn and very eager to come back in the SPL and prove that he actually had the potential. So I think just that combination of, we tried to change up how we wanted to play the game, coupled with someone who is eager, no pun intended, to come in and learn and jungle and just get good and just take a little bit of crap now and again, be like, hey, you can't do that. Like, let's play this way. Maybe try this out, but at the same time, not being a pushover and being like letting us make all the decisions for him really helped us grow a lot pretty quickly. Yeah.
I know, you know, Eager pun not intended, but you know, when Sam had his first, you know, run in the SPL with Eager, that was short-lived, and like a lot of us kind of spoke out at outrage that like Sam wasn't the problem on that roster. But one of the things that I did hear, like actual criticism that was valid at the time, was he was quiet. He didn't really have a presence in comms. Is that something that you guys kind of had to overcome when he first joined? Is he like just a calm monster now, or what can you say?
I think it's kind of just like his personality. He's a bit more, he's not necessarily a quiet guy, but when he plays, for sure, he's not calming a ton, to be honest. But when he is calming, it's like very important and concise. A lot of it is he just kind of goes off like how the situation looks and how it feels. And I think a lot of the thing on our team is I do a lot of the calming and Zap does a lot of the calming, and everyone else kind of fills in with important information when they need. And I think that's one thing that we need to improve on for sure, is our calming's a little bit shaky sometimes, just because not everyone is. A lot of people, when they play, like to focus. When they're focusing, they feel like they can't calm for whatever reason. It's just a personality thing, whereas I can just talk all the time. I say everything, blah, blah, blah. Whether that's good or not, who knows. But so it's a little bit of something we need to work on. But at the same time, he's not bad at calming or anything. It's just that the information he's giving is information that's vital. And maybe some of the outside stuff, some of the other stuff, like, gets left behind. But it's definitely, he's a good calmer. But I could see being new to the SPL and eager, I could definitely imagine him just not really talking a lot, just not being as confident as he should have been. And that could have been a problem then for sure. But now it's not really an issue.
All right. You guys pick up the two new squad members. You guys figuring it all. You're playing well together. You guys make just a monster run from qualifiers where I think Sam transcended into Smite Godhood as like in his jungle plays, Paul as well.
Yeah.
And you guys make it to Worlds on just some amazing play. How did it feel like in the moment just for qualifiers to like play so well and make it out of qualifiers?
It definitely felt really good. I mean, we were a little bit shaky at times. Like our SK set was a little bit shaky, and then followed by our CLG set, which is a little bit shaky, could have gone either way, to be honest. And then our mouse set, which was another grind fest, but it felt really good, and we were all kind of surprised, right? We're looking around, like, Sam had joined the end of the fall split, which is right before Worlds, pretty well, the World qualification. We have a guy who's playing an SML, another guy who's playing an SML, and then three of us all staying here. Like, what just happened, right? Like, how are we going to Worlds? Like, I didn't envision this to be the team. It would be the first time I would make Worlds, but definitely felt really good, But at the same time, we knew we had a lot of work we wanted to do because we thought we had a good shot at cracking Worlds. So there's a lot of good teams. But at the same time, we're celebrating. We're like, there's still work to be done, you know? Like, qualifying's fun, yeah. But at the same time, so is winning $500,000 or whatever, right?
Yeah. I mean, you guys definitely did put in a lot of work. You guys had E-United in the first round, the defending world champs, and I think surprising everybody, maybe even yourselves, you guys take out E-United, and you know, that was, to me, that felt like, because I'm very honest when like believe in the hype, right? Like I was still very questionable on Zap. I was questionable on, you know, Belair at the time, Scary D, and you know, wondering if you guys were had was this the I've arrived moment, you know what I mean? And I didn't believe it. You guys beat United, and it, to me, I was like, okay, I at least Sam, Paul, Neil, the core youth of that team, I really get and I support. I can see this guy's going forward. Did you guys kind of feel something similar when you made your run in like the actual Worlds?
It definitely felt pretty good, especially I had never really accomplished anything with Smite, to be honest. I'd just been like CC player or whatever, and then joined like lower middle SPL, and I always knew it's a pretty strong player, and I thought I had good ideas about the game, but to have a little bit of validation was nice. But I think the big thing was that everyone else got a lot of confidence out of that as well, and we knew that we could hang with everyone, which is a lot of fun. And it was fun to actually play a lot of the EU teams, because none of us had really played EU teams besides Zap and Scary, so for the other three of us, it was a lot of fun. After EU Night, we got to play Rival, and it was definitely a really good moment to kind of establish ourselves, yeah. But I honestly still feel like, although we beat United, I really didn't feel like they showed up and played as well as they could have, to be honest. I think they would say the same. Like, they didn't. I had heard from a lot of people that are picking stuff they had never practiced, and they weren't really playing the way they had been scrimming, which is kind of odd for whatever reason. But at the same time, a win's a win, but it would have been interesting to be able to play those guys on a day where they had been calm and collected and showed up and done what they had been practicing, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, you guys definitely surprised a lot of people, especially on that world stage. You obviously kind of wasn't, you know, the best run. You know, you run into Rival next, and you know, maybe on a different day you could maybe take a game off of them. I think
we should have won the first two games, to be honest, personally.
That's a trend I've noticed, playing these top teams. Should have won two games.
That happens to us all the time. Like, as versus PK, I felt like we should have won. at least one of those two games. I think we should have won the first two games personally. And against rivals, same thing. But these good teams, like even when you have leads, they put you in spots you don't want to be in and force you to make a tough decision. If you make a bad decision, even if you're ahead, they'll punish you, right? And it's all about five-man chemistry, everyone being able to make the best decision they can as a team. And at the end of the day, the team with better chemistry, who's working harder, who's making good decisions is going to win, right?
Right.
Like you said, maybe on a different day, but...
Yeah, I forget who said it on the cast, but it was like, Smite has grown so much, like at least competition-wise, and like strength of the competitors, where if you make a mistake against any team right now, they're going to capitalize and they can beat you off of it. And I feel like that's really true. And, you know, you guys starting off this year, probably a little unlucky with the draw for scheduling. You got to start off against Pittsburgh Knights. But honestly, like watching that set, everyone talked about how like the Knights got the 3-0 and how good they looked. And I was like, did we watch the same game? Like, Pittsburgh Knights didn't look exceptionally strong. You guys for sure should have won those first two games. Little things kind of went wrong, and it was unfortunate to watch. But ultimately, did it feel like, obviously, it doesn't feel good to lose and get 3-0'd. But seeing how close you guys were, did that feel good? Like, we just went up against like the super team, like the casual pleb fan favorite, and we probably could have, should have won at least two games, maybe the set if we can get extended past there. Was there any sense of like, okay, now we know where we are?
A little bit. I think it was a little bit more frustrating for us because having stuck together, I think that we have a bit of an advantage. All those other teams have to build synergy, so we kind of expected ourselves to win that set and the United set personally. And although we lost, the thing that's important to remember is it's a long year, and sometimes getting a kick in the pants early is a good reminder to, hey, like, these are our glaring issues. You could see them in these games. Like, these are things we really need to work on and buckle down on. And lately in practice, although like losing sucks, the big thing is it makes you work harder, right? Like, when you're sitting at the top, it's easy to get complacent and then get knocked off later when it matters. And I think that early on, although we lost a couple of games, we felt we should have won against PK. Either way, though, it's a good team. Like, they can win the set. We should have taken a couple of games at least. It's a good motivator for sure, though, versus them and EU and I just losing those. And it is just good to lose early in the year, I think, as opposed to later. At least personally, I think that at least. So it's going to be a long year and there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done, but better start now rather than later, right?
Right. I mean, this is the first phase. You know, it matters now, which is like, oh, it does, you know, your seeding and everything. Mm-hmm. That there is that aspect, but this is still Smite. We've had five seasons worth of like notes to show us that generally the world champion doesn't really like appear until after the break, that midway between like actual worlds and this like second half of the season. I mean, there's still plenty of time to get on track. I mean, I have you guys very highly rated right now. I think I came out very surprised when you guys stuck together. I was kind of surprised. You know, there's a lot of talent out there. Zatman on the older side, he was playing the new WA ADC. Was that really the best look? Things like that. And, you know, Scary D's been a consistent force, but thinking like, okay, are there other options? I was skeptical when you guys stuck together. I will walk that all the way back. I think you guys have been playing amazing. Zap has, I think this might be the strongest I've seen Zap look in a very long time. Like, it's funny for me to look at it and see how closely Zap and Bear have been fighting back and forth and how close it's been. And now, in my opinion, I think Zap is playing at a different level than Bear is right now. And that's kind of insane for me because I don't think anybody would really have said the same like a year ago or anything like that. And then watching Belair kind of go one-on-one against Deathwalker and slap him around in lane was really fun to watch and see the growth there. And then, what was it? You played Sylvanas again. You played the other day, right? And just went nuts. I think you should just play more Sylvanas is what we're learning here. One of the big plays I remember on Neil. Well. So, really excited to see what you guys do. You guys, who you guys got up next? I just looked it up and I can't remember.
We have Renegades next week, but I think that'll probably get rescheduled due to visa issues. So then we have a long break, and I think we play Dignitas in week 8, I think is our next match. So we're gone about 3 weeks now. We're just kind of waiting around to play, which isn't ideal, but at the same time, I mean, never too bad having a break, but it would be nice having a game.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys get to sit around and, you guys get a lot of practice, a little bit of testing,
you know?
A lot of film review time, watching other teams, kind of have it. I mean, obviously, we've got, Pittsburgh Knights and Dignitas again. So we're going to see what the top of the card is, really doing. And that's, you said, it sucks
right now.
I
think all the teams are really close right now. For the most
Is that a legitimate thing? Or are you trying to pump yourself up and hype you?
I think Rival really surprised me with how well they were doing. And I think PKA is a really strong team with a lot of talent. I think tactically and draft wise, they're not as strong as other teams right now, but they can come out on any given day. And if they pull that together, they could be a really strong team. Right. Even Unite obviously beat us. They're looking reasonably good as well. Dignitas, very strong. Splice with Divios, I think, will be very strong. I think a lot of those teams are kind of up in the air. Whoever shows up on game day can take a win off anyone, right? Are my teams, at least, I think, have a shot at being top.
I absolutely agree. I've kind of had it in, I have three different tiers right now, and you can agree or not, but I have my bottom teams, quote-unquote bottom teams, where I think it's Trifecta, LG, and SSG, unless they get their shit together, just because they just haven't looked as strong as other teams. They could take teams off of the next tier, but I don't see them taking games off the top tier consistently or anything. And then I've got, you guys have been really frustrating, and I don't know where to put you. At some days, you're looking at the very top, and then the other days, you're looking at in the top of the mid. I think I have, right now, I really only have you and United as that, think you guys are that dark horse territory where I think you can make real, nobody wants to play you in a single elimination bracket because you guys have just upset a lot of people. And that's just now, the start of the phase. I think I have you guys right now, even though you lost to United, I have you rated higher than them because I think your guys' ceiling is legitimately one of the highest in Smite right now. Because so far, Paul started off kind of slow in the first couple games. And then has the last week, you guys all fucking showed up and just demonstrated how good you guys can play. And that's only going to improve. I expect a lot of good things. You say you haven't accomplished that much in Smite. I expect big things out of you, Neil, and your whole team. I'm excited to watch you guys play and grow. I'm kind of sad that you just said you're not playing until week 8 now, because that's a hell of a long time.
Yeah. We'll see if it's good or not for us. We'll see. Yeah, hopefully you're going to work on some cool strategy and things like that between then and now, because that's probably what it'll be for, since you don't have to prepare for a certain team. A lot more time in your stream is going to be dedicated to, hey, maybe you want to try this god or this strategy or something. So hopefully you can brew something up by then that's a little bit spicy. But I think a lot of our struggles early on as well just kind of came down to the meta as well, because there's a lot of patches that were happening and a lot of changes that were happening. Right around that time. So I think that we're kind of struggling to find a consistent start. And I think you saw with United in game 4, we didn't even have a chance. And same with Pittsburgh in game 3, we didn't even have a chance to play, because we just got blown out in the first 2 minutes of your game's kind of over, right? So I think just finding a little bit more consistent of a start and finding a little bit more of our groove in the meta is really going to do wonders for us. Because I think if we get through the early game, through the first 2 minutes of the game, we play the map extremely well, and I think if we work on our team fighting a little bit more and our drafts a little bit better, I think that we're going to be a really dangerous team throughout this whole year. I agree with you. I think our ceiling is incredibly high, and I think that's part of the reason why we all decided to go together, stay together, right? Because a lot of people on our team got offers. We could have replaced players. But at the end of the day, we just kind of decided, hey, look, we came a long way at the end of the year. The big thing is we're all really easy to work with. We all get along really well, so it's easy to grow together. It's an environment you want to show up and you want to practice with, and I think that's really important. And I think we have something that could be potentially really strong this year. So hopefully we meet up to my own expectations, and I guess we'll just take it one step at a time until Worlds.
Yeah. All right. So I got two meta strategy-esque questions, and I understand if you don't answer either of these. The first one, how excited are you to play Aura support?
I haven't even checked them out, to be honest. I don't usually go on PTS or fool around, or I don't really watch patch notes. I just read the list and it comes out, and when the god comes out, I go into arena and try it. But I've seen a little bit, like his ultimate looks really interesting. Everyone's crying that he's overpowered or whatever, and he probably is, but any new god's just going to be a lot of fun. You know, whenever I play ranked, I'm playing Scotty support and things like that, and running around doing janky stuff, so any new character you can throw my way, I'm more than happy to take a look at it, and if it's fun, even better.
I mean, the fact that you can take a fully charged Emir ult and just appear somewhere. God, that's just disgusting.
Seems like a lot of fun, rules. Yeah. I was really interested to see how it would change picks and bans, because suddenly a lot of gods that were really traditionally picked, if you had Horus with it, you could run some really cool combo, kind of like you've been seeing Joram and Awilix in SPL a little bit. So,
yeah.
It'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, especially because this design trend that we're starting to get, you know, back to, you know, this feels very reminiscent to me of like Baron Samedi, where he's a mage, but is more geared towards support and solo styles of play. And now we have a warrior who looks like is going to be more geared towards, you know, the support style of play as well. That the different roles and different classes mix and match looks really cool. And then my second question, which you probably have more opinion on, is, well, before I'll preface it with this. Are you into any other MOBA scenes or anything like that besides Smite? Are you like a League guy? Are you a Dota guy too? Or is it just Smite?
Well, before I came to Smite, I played a lot of Han. I was playing that around like years ago. And then when Han kind of died, I switched to Dota 2. So I follow Dota 2 a fair amount, not so much during the year, but around majors and TIs and stuff. I'll watch Dota.
Okay. So watching back, you know, I think Smite has been really traditional with its play styles a lot of the time. You know, nobody really breaks off from duo goes to duo lane, solo goes to solo. That's just how you do things. We're civilized here. Watching LG kind of throw all of that to the wind and just be like, why not? Let's try something. Do you think we'll see more of that as the season goes on? Or is that just like, because there is no like strictly defined meta right now, you can kind of get away with trying to experiment with some of that stuff?
I think that's thing kind of up in the air, but I wouldn't be surprised if some teams tried it. But it kind of seems like something, it's a strategy to catch your opponent off guard. Like a lot of things in Smite, it takes a while for people to realize they're good, right? Like a lot of these patch changes don't even happen, then all of a sudden, what I mean by that is a lot of patches, like there's not even these really big changes, and all of a sudden you see Eager start a meta, the three man running at your speed or something like that, and it changes the whole way the game's played. You need to rebalance everything, you need to remove Hog. So that being said, there's a chance something like that happens, but I think that most of the time, I think most people are traditionally just happy doing what they know in terms of pro players. Like lots of dual laners are just happy going to dual lane and not really rocking the boat. And I think for the most part, that's a pretty reasonable way to play, and I don't think that many teams will be doing that. But I think that in LG situation, you have a pick that you is really strong and you want to take it, and then all of a sudden you have this weird draft and you're like, where should we put this or that? Like if I go to dual lane, I'll get crushed. Okay, how about you just run over to solo lane and build tanky and then try and show up later? Like that might happen a little bit, but I think that when you are putting mages and stuff in solo, like Merlins and stuff, and you're building tanky, it kind of changes the dynamic of the character too. Like all of a sudden you have a tanky Merlin, a soul laner who's still building tanky in dual lane. And then you come to team fights and your Merlin doesn't do any damage or whatever. Like I think it's a little bit too janky personally, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of it. I'm a little bit of a naysayer, but I mean, I'm just sitting here waiting to be proven wrong, I guess.
God, I thought for sure you would be more in the camp of, yeah, change everything. Like I thought I knew you, Neil, and I just really don't at this point. God.
I'm more of just trying out some spicy picks, but I'm running it down the same lane, you know, for the most part. I mean, every now and then, I guess I'll run an ice speed for like five games in a row. I'll do that, I guess. But outside of that, I don't know. Like, I think that when you mix up the roles too much with these weird picks, sometimes it gets a little bit strange. I think keeping drafts and starts relatively the same and changing a couple picks here and there is probably the most consistent way to play. I think throughout most teams will be the way they do choose to play. I think that LG's got some cool ideas for sure, but I mean, like so far hasn't really yielded any results. So I don't think that many teams are really going to rock the boat until it kind of shows some fruits or someone kind of starts doing it in scrims and starting to demolish everyone. Everyone catches on. So I don't think we'll see it anytime soon.
I mean, that's a fair answer. And I like, as much as I don't want to agree with you, it's probably what will happen. You know, everybody's going to play the way that wins. I mean,
yep.
It's hard because you look at SSG, right? And the LG before that, and that's a squad that has had reasonable success going deep in the year, never not once making a meta themselves. Mm-hmm. 100% following the meta of traditional play style. And that's just what Smite is, and it's what works. And I don't know. I'm waiting for somebody to come in and rock the boat. Maybe these Hero of the Storm kids will come in and really change stuff.
Last one who rocked the meta, I guess, is probably Zap. Worlds with Eager, yeah. You know, they changed the meta. But he's a pretty good guy to have on your team.
We're still in the Splice meta from last year, it really feels like. Everything right now feels like an extension of Divios being in duo lane, and that just breaking things wide open a little bit. But, you know,
yeah.
We'll see what happens. All right.
Yeah,
I don't think I have any more questions for you. Anything you want to say? Anything I haven't covered? Any shout-outs you want to give? Any trash talk you want to say?
I don't trash talk. That's for people who can't show up on game day and play. Your actions speak for you. But yeah, shout-outs to SK Gaming. They've been amazing so far. Had a lot of fun being underneath them, and it's great to interact with them. Shout-out to all my teammates, everyone who's been supporting us as well, and Game Fuel, and Razer, and Sennheiser, T-Mobile, Mercedes, you know, all those good ones. Yeah, but shout-outs to everyone so far for helping us get settled into the house and making the move pretty smooth. And yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming on, man. I feel like I have to apologize for like not having had you sooner. Man. Like, God, main, you've been one of my favorite supports to watch. You know, even when, you know, I feel like you went through that, like, I'll call it, for lack of anything else, like the Ducky phase, where everyone is like, all of, like, the casual watchers are like really down on Ducky. Can he really do it anymore? Has he ever really been that good? And you kind of like last year was like, you were kind of quiet and everyone just like, Everybody started talking like, well, were we wrong about Neil? Like, is he actually play on Oxygen? What happened? And, you know, I never jumped off the bandwagon. I'm really excited to see you play and see you guys have all the success you have had. And, you know, if I didn't love Dignitas so much, I might have to have you guys as my number one team. But
no problem. They're an easy team to love. A bunch of handsome guys on that team, and I don't blame you.
Everyone hated the Dignitas rebrand, but the owl, I don't know, that just, I like that more. I don't know.
I like it right now too. It's pretty clean. I like it.
All right, but that's, you know, we're getting off topic. So thanks for coming on, and good luck to your matches. Good luck to all the prep work, and hopefully you don't get too rusty in between now and your next game.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, have a good day.
Take care, man.